Christ.
My. Let's just give him a round of applause because he's been so good to us. This body leaps and bounds. Just take a look at yourselves. Just take a look at yourselves. You guys are still here.
That's right.
They that are alive and remain. My goodness, that's us. He's talking to us. Oh, my goodness. Let's sing that again. Praise him. Praise him. Praise. Oh, sorry. G. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him.
Praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down.
Serve him.
Serve him.
Yes, I'll serve him in the morning.
Serve him in the noontime.
Serve. I'll praise him,
praise him.
Yes, I'll
praise him in the morning,
praise him in the noontime. I'll
praise him,
yes, I'll praise him. I will
praise him when the sun goes down.
It's good to be here.
Lift
you may be
up
seated.
Your voices. Amen.
Brother Kevin, God bless you. My.
Thank God for being here one more time. This place is amazing. Yes. Just wanted to thank God. I wanted to, on record, just say that Sway's daughter had her baby yesterday. So she's there with her granddaughter. So thank God for having the healing process with that. So thank God for that. I also want to thank God for my mom. Today's her birthday. She's good or not, but
God bless her.
Want to thank God for her. Me and her might not have seen eye to eye growing up, but she's been a good mother. I couldn't say ask her better mother. She's had some regrets growing, with raising me, but I told her the best thing she could have done is put me in this church.
That's right.
And now me as an adult, now that I see this message for myself, she did the best thing she could have done.
She did her job.
She did her part.
At times we could be hard on our parents, you got to thank God for them because they kept you out of a lot of trouble if you think about it. I thank God for that. Really good. I don't take it for granted at all. And this message has been great. The service has been coming just strong. And our thinking has gotten so much better. It's just amazing. We don't even think how we used to anymore. We just changed. When Pastor Moore got up and he switched like that, the whole body just got right along with it. And we didn't bat an eye. And I'm ready to go. I am ready to go home. I do love this. I do, I enjoy life. But, when God says ready to go, Let's go home.
Let's do it.
I thank God for everybody here. And I just love you guys.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Kev. God bless you, Sister Chris.
Good morning, body. I just want to say I'm just going to give God all the glory, all the praise, because when I reflect back on this past year, the different things that I went through, God was with me all the time.
Yes.
I am so grateful and thankful for the word.
Amen.
I appreciate
what
Brother Jeremiah, Pastor Moore, Brother Jay, my sisters and my brothers here, you all have been spiritual models for me. And I'm just so grateful. This is just not me speaking.
Amen.
This is God dwelling in me.
And I am so grateful.
Amen. And, at one time, I was somewhat fearful about different things.
Yeah.
But now I have this revelation.
It's a peace.
You know,
amen.
God is with me. He loves me.
Yes.
I love him.
What a testimony.
And I'm telling you, there's nothing. I am not going to give room to Satan.
That's right. No, amen.
I'm just grateful to be here, and I love each and
amen.
Every one of you.
Amen.
This word is a beautiful thing. This word gives you peace. You know, you can listen to anything and you can still have your peace because God is real and this revelation is true. And this balance, this truth that we have, Satan has no hold on us. None whatsoever.
He doesn't know.
He was defeated when I was born again. He is defeated and he has no hold on me and he can't do anything to me. Anything. You know, I look back on this year and I think, Lord, it's been wonderful. I don't have one thing to complain about. I don't care what came. I don't care what went. I don't care if I fell over. I don't care if I were sick. It's been a wonderful year because we have moved forward as a body.
Amen.
You know, we talk about, you know, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, look how fast we turned. And the moment in the twinkling of eyes even going to be faster.
Yeah.
God moves quickly. And you just got to stay up with him. And I thank God that he put me where he put me. The ministry he gave me, it's what I needed. You know, our pastor has told us, just see your day and its message.
That's it.
And he has clarified that to us. Just see your day and its message.
Oh, yes.
But God saw fit for us to see more information.
More.
And what does that do? That more information gives us more peace.
Yes.
That's what it gives us. It gives us rest.
Yes.
You know, you're taken care of, but you can kind of be taken care of and, you know, tremble and be scared or up and down, still be born again, still see your day and its message. But God saw fit to see this little messed up body as to the world, but we see it. And we have it.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. So I want to lift my voice up.
Yes.
And I praise God we start early.
Yeah.
It gives us more time to praise him and still more time to get word. Yeah. Amen. God knows what he's doing.
Yes. Amen. God bless you, brother. Go ahead, sister.
It's an exciting time. Yes. Amen.
I'm really blessed to be at the very last full service of 2023. We have made it a long way for us that have been here. And I am so excited to hear the word. And I'm you know, I've looked back and there's been some Decembers that we were sick and weren't able to come.
Amen.
But you know, I know that I am here.
Amen.
And you know, I was thinking about looking around the church and we're not as full as we're usually towards the end of the year. You know, we're missing some people. And I, you know, I know that God is gonna touch the people that aren't here, like Sister Elise. You know, we've got Sister Ryan. She's not here. You know, there's a lot of people that are staples of our church. And we need to think about these people as they're, you know, Sister Joy. You know, there's people that we love. And you know, and I'm so happy for the word and that he's carried me through. And one of the things that I've learned is that I will have faith that he's going to come through because he's never left me up to now. And he's faithful. God is more faithful than anybody else ever. And you know, circumstances don't sway me anymore.
Praise God.
And I look at something and I'm like, man, this looks rough. And I'm like, you know what? But God's already provided a way.
He's already provided.
All I have to do is believe in him, do the best that I can.
Yeah.
And he's going to touch me. He's going to touch my husband. He's going to help us with the kids. And he does that for all of us, not just me, not just me. And our ministers and our husbands are so important.
Oh,
they keep us steady through the storms, through the darkness, when we don't think
on,
our
sis.
Light is shining.
Amen.
They stand in the gap for us between us and the word of God, and they bring us through, and that is true. That is absolutely true. And I know that now. It's not just words. I know that now. And they are so important.
Amen.
Don't take them for granted 2023 going into the new year. Because we need to uplift them. Because there's still all that stuff out there in the world, and they are still protecting us and keeping us Amen. And guiding us through this.
Yeah.
And we will make it. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sis. You know, we've got a good headship in here.
Amen.
You know, and if it wasn't for that headship, we'd be just like the rest of the world. Yeah. You know, and as the sis said, you know, the body needs to hold up the men. Men need to hold up Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to hold him up. Amen. And there's a chain of a little chain of things here. It flows right down. You know, here's God. You got the pastor. You got the ministry. You got the husbands. And then you got wives and children. That's the pecking order. You know, and if one gets around any other one that's above it, it's a mess. Right. You know, somebody's going to clean up a mess.
Yes.
And you know, we're like Brother Childers said, we're taking diapers off. We're not putting them on. Way past putting them on. Way past that. If you're talking about diapers, it's not even the conversation. You're not even in the right conversation.
Amen.
So God bless you, sis. Go ahead.
I definitely identify with that leadership, brother.
Amen.
You know, we have to recognize leadership. You know, where could we go for refuge for our soul? You know, I'm thankful when I got in here this morning. It was just such a wonderful sanctuary that we have here. We come in welcoming each other. And it's such a lovely place to be. And I'm thankful for this word. You know, we're talking about 2023. It's been a wonderful year. Lots have happened and, you know, battles won. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the word that I get here. It gives me much peace. I'm thankful for the service. I'm thankful for the revelation of just knowing what we know here. We have a solid revelation. I can reflect on the word, and the word gives me peace. It gives me direction. And I'm just thankful for it. And I always want to say, God is good, and it is well with my soul.
Amen.
God bless you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to hop in there.
Hop in.
You know, I'm just listening to the saints testifying. And as I stand here before in this wonderful atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, I just want to say I'm not waiting on anything else. I'm ready to go. I'm ripening in the sun.
Yes.
I'm ready to go. I like to sing a song then.
Amen.
See, please. You know, you never think of everything you want to say. But this is the hour that we've all been waiting for. Wait. I can't praise him in that key. Try T. This is nah. Hey. Yes. This is the hour. Amen. That we've all been waiting for. This is the hour that we've all been waiting for. This is the hour. Amen. The bridegroom is at the door. If we have time today, if the Lord leads you, I would just love to hear my pastor sing, I Trust in God. There's no voice like the voice of your husband.
Amen.
I want to say that I have the best husband in the world for me. He saved me in every way I could be saved. He put up with me, and he'll say I put up with him. But, you know, it's sweet. We've been married, 30-something years? 38? Who's counting? They say, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Huh? Yeah. He's perfect. He's perfect from the ground all the way up.
Amen.
And there has been no man. He took the direction of Brother Childers. Yes. He saw a job that needed to be done, and he rolled up his sleeves and got with
Amen.
It. And he's been getting with it ever since he came here. He could have been lifted up in pride like pastors do, but he didn't do that. He took humble, and he said, let me just get the job done, Brother Isaiah. Yeah. He's been faithful. He didn't go fly off on a tangent, because if you know, that man flew off, we'd all flew off. Yeah. And he's been faithful. He's held the mark. I couldn't give him enough praise.
Amen.
I couldn't give him enough glory.
Amen.
He's the greatest. Let's give our pastor a round of applause.
Yes.
So if you'll sing, I'll trust in God if you have time. Yeah, I bow to you guys. Thank you.
God bless you. Brother Mike.
When Brother John was speaking, really, really hit me
seated.
The importance of that testimony of knowing your day and that message. That's how important this entire line right here of ministry is. If we still think it's 3 minutes till midnight, we're not going nowhere. My. We don't even know what day it is.
Right.
We had to make that corner Amen. To know our day and its yeah. message. We went past the seven into the eight. And that's why we're moving forward so fast now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have 3 minutes. No, it's out. It's next day. Okay, my watch must be wrong. That's how important this sermon right here is. Yeah. Because this is what's going to get us home.
That's right.
It's the truth. And not one of us would have known what day it was until you got up there and preached it.
That's right.
All of us who had ever read that was still thinking 3 minutes till midnight.
Yeah.
Not knowing what day and what hour
Amen.
It is.
Didn't even know.
But now we know
yeah.
our day and its message.
Amen.
And now we can, and that's why when I was in there, and that just hit me so much that I couldn't keep it silent anymore. I said, now you have a group together that not only knows what it is, yeah. but when
yeah.
it is.
Oh, yeah.
That group can go home now.
Amen. Amen.
That's how important this yeah. line of ministry is.
Get them
is.
Out of here.
We're getting yeah. ready now. I can see I'm excited now. You've just rekindled that whole thing that I can see it now. Everything's starting to fall together.
That's right. Yeah.
The way the ministry has been saying it would all this time. And I'm really excited right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
I'm pretty excited myself. You know, we're sitting here thinking about, you know, the hour of the day. You know, this bride, she wants to be up to date.
Yeah.
Very second.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday not good enough. 5 minutes weren't good enough, you know. And, you know, you learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Just,
Amen.
You do after a while. Yeah. You just do. If you're spiritual, Brother Branham yes. said, you watch spiritual things. You know, and God's moving so quick
yeah.
that, you know, if you're not seeing him move, start looking for him to move.
Amen.
You know, if he ain't not dealing with you every minute of every day,
yeah.
start looking for him to deal with you every minute of the day.
That's
not,
right.
Not in this denominational creed, like I'm so spiritual and I've got to go out and save people and everything. It's not our day.
Right.
Our day right now is keeping up with God. He's moving in right. his body.
In this
Don't
body.
Look for him anyplace else, but move no. through
Amen.
You.
Amen.
You know, I wrote something to Brother Moore the other day. And, you know, I'd gone for like 2 weeks. Hadn't woke up in the morning, you know, God dealing with me 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning like he normally did. And I was sleeping all night, and I'm thinking, what's up? So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, I know what happened last time when he wasn't dealing with me. He just kind of looked at me and said, well, start thinking about things.
Yeah.
I'll be right there. He always rides in on his word.
That's right.
If you're all fearing some tangent and some kind of worry and fret and Amen. Fuss and something from a day gone yeah. past, he's not going to deal with that. He'll just sit there with his arms yeah. folded. He said, get up to date.
yeah.
I'll deal with
That's
you.
Right.
I'll start talking to you then. And he's so eager to talk through his bride,
yes.
so eager to talk to his bride, through his bride. The bride's moving. The bride's where it's where it's at.
Yes.
It's exactly where it's at.
Amen.
And I wrote this thing down the other morning, I think it was Friday, and I was sitting there thinking, I think, well, Lord, you know, just where are we at? What yeah. are we doing? What, you know, Wednesday night
right.
had an effect on us, you know, we're looking at things.
Yeah.
If you're spiritual, you watch spiritual things, you know.
Right.
And you know, and we realize where people are at. We realize people can only get as high as they're teaching. You're never getting higher than your pastor.
That's right.
Just like Brother
Amen.
Mike was saying. You didn't know any later than 3 minutes to midnight till Brother Moore
right.
sat up
right.
here and told us, guess what?
Yeah.
That's already done. It's over. We got to quit saying that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not only midnight, it's past midnight.
Yes.
This is a new day. This is an eternal day. Eternal day. Like Brother Childress always said, this is not church normal.
No.
This is not we're going around, we're trying to save people, we're trying to figure out how to worship and how to get the doctrine straight and how to... Oh, no. We're way beyond that.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, I was sitting there thinking about how... I want to make sure I say everything that I said the other day. One of these things, I said, well, why not just read it?
Come on.
It was inspired then.
Yeah.
Why wait for new inspiration
Come
then?
On.
It's still the Word of God.
Prophesy again.
And I just wanted to read it. And pay attention close.
Yes.
I wrote... Once you recognize you're part of the bride body, it's all over for you. Because it's all over for the bride body. She's right here. She's sinless. She's perfected.
Amen.
Satan can't touch her.
Oh, my goodness.
So get your eyes off Satan.
Amen.
Satan's not. Shouldn't even be
not
in your
even,
sight.
Not
shouldn't be anywhere near
Amen.
You.
Yeah. That's the
Satan
truth.
Is not a threat
That's
to the bride.
Right.
And truth is, even though they didn't know it, we know it now. Satan never was a threat
right.
to the bride.
Never was.
Never will be. Never was.
Oh, my goodness.
Brother Bram said, took a stinger out at Calvary.
Calvary. Yeah.
All he can do is buzz, make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Get your eyes off Satan.
Yeah.
It's all over for you because it's all over for the bride body of all ages.
Oh, my.
She has been redeemed.
Yes.
She's been perfected. She's been fully ready for 60 years now.
Yeah.
She's been on her feet. She knows what it is. She's not, the intelligence is over here and the rest of the body over there.
No.
The intelligence is reunited. We're
yes.
united with the bride body. We're all on our feet.
Amen.
Brother Bram said we're completely swung back to the Garden of Eden condition.
That's right.
Everything but our house.
Yeah.
Them too.
Amen.
Everything but their house.
Everything
They're swung
house.
Back to Garden of Eden condition.
Right.
We're united. The only thing separates us is just that thin veil.
That's right.
This dimension
it's
and that dimension.
Now.
We have arrived, brothers.
Oh, my.
She's been redeemed. She's been perfected. She has been fully ready for 60 years now, passed from death unto life. Can no more come into judgment. She's overcome every obstacle, every demon, every attempt for Satan to stop her. She's complete and perfected.
That's right.
No one can take that away. No
That's
one can
right.
change
no
that.
One.
We're talking about us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
World didn't give it.
This is not church normal.
No.
This is the eighth day.
Yes.
Eternal day.
That's right.
Go ahead. Beyond the seven-day week, beyond redemption, beyond repentance, beyond saving, beyond looking to one on the mercy seat to intercede for sin, he's not on the mercy seat no more.
No.
Don't be looking there.
No.
He's not there. He's in you.
Amen.
He's in his bride.
Amen.
Now we recognize we're part of a sinless bride. Fully justified in his sight.
Fully justified.
Oh, my.
That means something to me.
Amen.
That excites me.
Oh,
the way you worship, the way you do this, the way you do that. Just give me the word.
Amen.
Give me exactly where I'm at, what God wants
give me my
right
breath.
Now. An understanding
That's
of God's mind right now. That's the thing that excites me.
Amen.
See, I love it like that.
Yes. Can I have the young people come forward, please?
Amen.
Praise him, praise
him. Amen. Amen.
Thanks. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Sing, y'all.
long as I'm alive, it's gonna be shouting. One thing that I know, down in my soul, as long as I'm alive, I'm gonna
before I sit down. I just want to say something real quick. I'm so happy that my this year I've come so far. I went from being a little boy who didn't know nothing about this to being a little boy who didn't know anything. To now.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I'm ready to get out of here. This thing is so real to me now. Yes. I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful for Jeremiah. I'm thankful for Brother James. Yes. The mentorship. I'm thankful for Skylar. I'm thankful for my dad.
Yeah.
Thankful for everybody in this place.
Yeah. Praise Him.
And I'm so excited for what I'm going to hear this morning. God bless you.
Hold my meal real quick. Hold on, I'm a little choked up. That's my boy. You know, that's what happens, you know. Look at the Brinkmans. Their whole family's here. That's what happens when you serve God. You know, it goes down to your children. Oh my goodness, this is a blessed place. You know, I love what you said, Brother Mike, because, you know, when we got that revelation, we all watched Pastor die right here in his thinking as he was preaching that. And then he had to go. You know what it'll make you do? Go back to the word to read it again. Oh, you got to go back because it's going to read different when you read it this time. Oh, my goodness. I love this thing. Oh. Oh. Sorry, sis.
No, I'm so cool right now. I just want to say, it seems like every time I'm up here, I just want to say thank you. So much. I mean, I had a mountain in front of me, and I admit I was a little hesitant, and Pastor Moore just kept saying, ask somebody to help, and I had to, because this was a major mountain in front of me, with my parents' home, and getting that done. So I just want to say I thank you all so very much again on behalf of me and my family. And I want to say also, as we were talking about husbands, I thank God for my husband, Alex.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I mean, he has been such a help for me. He's been a blessing. Oh, he's done so much. He's taken care of my dad when, you know, I had to do things or go to the store. He's been there. You know, he's been trying to work from home while I can do things. And he's just been awesome as my daughter. And I'm calling for him to be here because... You know, just the other day, I had an appointment to go to the doctor, and I'm always a little nervous of going to a certain area, driving fear, and I'm going to get lost. But the whole time, I said, you know, I'm going to just turn my music off. I talked to God the whole time. Yes. Oh, my God, I'm going to get there. I'm here. I'm already there. You get me there. He got me there. I even claimed for a front parking space. He got me a parking space. The garage was packed. It was packed, and I got number one. And I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you. You got me there. And I'm just so thankful. You know, the devil tries to throw things at you. Gave me another diagnosis of neuropathy. My feet are, like, on fire. So if you see me, maybe, I mean, just jumping for the Lord because they're on fire. So. But amen. I'll get through it. I mean, I'll get through it. But on that note, Alex, you know, as I called for to get that front parking space to get there, my husband's going to walk through those doors because Amen. He believes this message.
Yes,
he believes that you all are his family. He knows everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's so comfortable. He's believing it. And he admits his problem is laziness, and it is. But I believe he's going to get here. He's going to walk through these doors.
Amen.
And just keep him in your prayers. So I thank you again. Thank you.
God bless you. Let me get the announcements out of the way real quick, sis. So we've already pretty much skated through this year. So there's not much left to say about that. We've got the service, New Year's service, dinner at 6. And it's going to be service at 8. So God bless you.
Man, I've been holding it back. I wasn't going to testify, but how could I not? Why wouldn't I want to come in here? And just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for everything that you do for me. And it's not if I get the number one parking spot. If I get number 100, it's still okay. God's going to be there. He's already made the way. All I got to do is just wait now. We're waiting for this body change, and we're going to get that word any second now. Any second.
Yeah.
But your testimony, Sister Chrissy, I was thinking about that diagnosis, and I was telling the story the other day. My little 2-year-old granddaughter, she lives with a 4-year-old that had just been, he had pneumonia, but she started coughing, and she looked at me, and she was kind of surprised, and she said, I'm not sick. And and every time she would cough, she said, I'm not sick. And I'm like, a 2-year-old, and I'm like, baby girl, you keep claiming that because you are not going to be sick.
Amen.
And I'm still holding on to that. But we don't have to listen. We've already been told this morning, Satan, he's not even in our atmosphere.
No.
He can get away from you right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love it. I do love these Brinkman family. I think about you guys all the time. Because Don and Johnny remind me of my mom and dad. Always there for every single person. They would give their last anything to help anyone. They will work and work and work and love and love and love. And, you know, your kids are here and you get to see your grandkids every single service. And that's fantastic. I would love that for myself as well. Because Doug and I, we've still been good to God. We've still lived
right.
This.
Right. Amen.
Our kids aren't here, but you know what? God made a way for that. So
it's
okay.
It's okay.
I'm just thankful. I got here a little early, not as early as I should have been, and church has already started. So I was praising God ever since I got in here, but that song, Oh My Lord, surely been good to me, has been on my mind this morning. I just want to start it. I'm not going to keep singing it, but if we could just start that.
Yeah.
Oh
my Lord, you've surely been good to me. Oh my Lord, you've surely been good to me. Oh. Done what this world could not do.
Amen.
Singing, oh my Lord, you've surely been good to me. Oh my Lord, you've surely been good to me. This world could not do. I'm singing, oh my Lord, you've surely been good to me. Oh my Lord, you've surely been good to me. Oh my Lord, you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Amen.
I'm singing, oh my Lord, you surely been good to me. Done what
bless you. I was just going to give a quick testimony. You can be seated. I'm glad to be here in this house this morning. I appreciate the testimonies. You know, like Sister Renee said, you know, church started early. This is the only place you can come 20 minutes early and still be late. So it's all right. I'll do better next service. It's okay. I thank God for the opportunity to be here. But even in that thinking, I'm thinking, you know, even if, what if this is my last service?
Yeah.
You know, I want to go out like Brother Micah said. You know, I want to be positive in this thing.
Amen.
You know, you don't know if you got another service. You don't know if you got Sunday night. You don't know if you got Wednesday. That's what we learned this year, is that you don't know if you got another service.
That's right.
So my last testimony is going to be that I believe this thing.
Yes.
You know, I one of those things is, we come in here so often and you think about all the stuff that God's given you.
Oh, my.
My God, he's blessed us so much.
So much.
I'm like how my wife said, I've had good days and great days. That's all the days I've had. It's good and great. That's all I get with God. He's given me a revelation of the hour. And I thought, my, how far have we come? I mean, we see this thing so clearly that I'd be remiss if I come in here and keep begging God and asking for stuff. I just want to say thank you sometimes. Just,
yeah.
My goodness, you've given me everything I could ever want. I mean, this revelation that we have is so sweet. I know every man I meet. I can praise God anywhere I go. Yeah. You know, I can see how Brother Branham was over in Africa and worshiping. And they said, what is he doing out there? He said, I'm praising God too.
Yeah.
It don't matter where I'm at. I can be somewhere where somebody doesn't even speak the language. And I'm saying, I can still praise God. It doesn't matter if you're speaking French, Swahili, or whatever. It don't matter. I know what my God is saying to me.
Amen.
I can just reflect on what he's already done for me. I can have service almost by myself. Just thinking about what he's done for me. You know, I think about that song. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
No.
I've got too much behind me. That, when I say that, I'm not even just saying just in my natural life, 40-something years of living. I'm saying, look at the body. I've got too much behind me to let this world bind me.
I'm surrounded.
To some, he's just a name.
To me. Everything.
Oh, he's my everything.
Everything.
Oh, that's why I'm not ashamed. I can come here and shout. I can raise my hands. Yeah. I can dance. I can walk. I can just praise God. I'm in the atmosphere. There's some people that hear God and don't hear God.
Yeah.
You know, God can be speaking right to them and it just goes right over their head. They still worry. They still fret.
Yeah.
They still don't understand leadership. They still don't take him seriously. But when I hear God, it just... it's something different.
Come on.
It's my very life beat.
It's my life.
When I hear
my
God,
life.
I hear my same heartbeat.
It's, my life.
It's the life. Same. When he speaks, I speak. Yes. When he wants something,
that's
I want
true.
Something.
That's it.
I come in, even if it tells me I'm short, I say, you know what, you're right.
Let me step it up.
It's not fighting it at all. I don't even debate it. I don't argue with the word.
No.
Because I'm the bride. I turn quickly to the word. Oh my. I'm just blessed to be here this morning. I'm looking forward to what God's going to bring us because we do have a revelation of the hour.
Oh, yes.
We do.
You know, I was listening to some tape or something and one of the brothers said, you know, Brother Branham changed and he was saying, you know, hey, whoa, you know, you got to understand that Brother Branham changed. And I'm thinking, I'm 30, 40 years past
that's
Brother
that.
Branham changing.
Whoa.
That doesn't shock me. That doesn't stop me. That doesn't, that's not a hiccup in my service.
No.
That doesn't make me think differently. Yeah. I knew he changed.
Yeah.
Why? Because I changed.
Yeah.
Jesus changed. God, that's a progressive ministry. When he said, when he framed the worlds, even when he did it, he didn't do it in a day. He did it in several days. God has a progressive ministry. Everything is progressive. When he says, let there be, it's just a progressive. Yeah. You progress with him.
Progress.
He said, let there be the rapture. It's going on now.
Right now.
The rapture is going on now. When we say it's past midnight, that means we're in the eighth day. We've stepped out of time. Into eternity. That means the rapture is going on now. We're building up towards the body change. So that means it started in my feet and it's just moving all the way up just like it did with the body. And then it's going to come a real revelation where it comes to my mind and I see this actual body change.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, but I'm changing
that's
all
reality.
Every service. I'm stepping up every service.
Day.
I'm getting closer and closer. That veil is like Brother Isaiah said, it's getting thinner and thinner every day. Oh, it's like a wedding. You know, when you see the bride coming down with that veil on, you might can't make her face out just enough, but it still gets you teared up if you're a husband standing here waiting. But when she gets face to face, and I go to move that veil, I can see her image, I can see her eyes, I can see her lips, that's how it is now. I see Jesus' eyes, I see his face, and I'm just ready to meet him in the air. I'm getting higher and higher every service.
Yeah.
And you want me to think about this temporal world? I can't do it. You want me to think about these baby problems? I can't do it. I'm not thinking about diapers. Not thinking about I'm not even thinking about my job. I'm not thinking about my life. I'm not thinking about my kids. I'm not thinking about I'm coming here to hear the word. Yes. That's what I'm here for. Oh, I can worry about Monday if Monday gets here.
Yes.
But Sunday morning, I'm not going to let nothing interfere with the 3 hours, 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever I get. I just want to enjoy it.
Space of time.
That's all I get.
That's it.
It's like a long distance relationship.
Oh, my goodness.
And so to speak, you know, that you get on the phone or whatever, and you're like, I don't want any interruptions.
No.
I don't want anybody saying anything to me during this time period.
Silence.
I don't want my phone to mess up. I don't want the kids to do something. I want just that moment of time just to enjoy it.
I get
the fellowship with God every day. We know that.
Oh,
but like this, no, I don't.
No.
Surrounded by a body of believers, not every day like that. But when I come into this atmosphere, I want anything on it.
Don't
bring anything in here. That's why I said don't bring any traditions. I don't want your junk on this present tense, God. Don't bring me your tomorrow problems. Don't bring me what happened to you yesterday.
Come on.
I want to know what God's doing right now.
Right this minute.
That's all I care about. Yesterday must have took care of itself because I'm here.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I ain't worried about it because I don't even plan on being there. I'm ready to get raptured right now.
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm just going to be sitting here on the edge of my seat waiting for Pastor just to say a word.
Just one word.
He can just say a word. He can say, you know what? I've decided I'm tired of being here. And I say, you know what? Me too.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Let's
just go. Let's just go.
I don't see. We don't need another.
Oh, my. So I appreciate the testimonies. I appreciate what God's doing. I love even how Sister Christy said, you know, she had a mountain. We all have mountains.
Yeah.
And you know what I told Sister Christy? This is what I told her. She'll tell you. I said, this can move as fast as you want.
Yeah. That's the truth.
You can move this mountain as fast as you want. If you want to hold on to it for several months, hold on to it for several months.
Yeah.
You want to hold on to it for 1 week? Hold on for one. But this mountain can move as fast as you want. And that's on all of our mountains.
That's all of us.
It can move as fast as you want. If you want to hold on to something, hold on to it then.
Yeah.
Don't complain about wanting to hold on to it. You're the one wanting to hold on to it. It's up to you. But you got help.
Yes.
You got support. You can turn over that load so fast.
Yes.
That's really what God's talking about. We even talking about a husband and wife. My wife can turn over that load so fast, she can have a bill that she was worried about forever. And you go, you know what? I ain't thinking about this no more.
Yeah.
This is yours.
Done.
That's it. Now, she can think about it all day if she wants to. She can think about it as much as she wants to. But as soon as she turns it over, that's it.
It's a wrap.
That's how it is when I even got issues and myself. I come over to Pastor Margo.
Come on.
You know what? I've thought about this as long as I wanted to fight.
Right.
It's yours now, Bo.
It's yours
and he can
now.
Hold on to it as long as he wants. And he can just turn it right over to God as well.
That's right.
We don't have to hold on to nothing over here. That's what I'm getting at. When you think about the chain of command, when you understand it, you can let all these burdens go.
Amen.
Lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. See, we got Bible for everything. But I just thank God for it. I don't want to take too much time, but I'm just grateful to be here. If this is my last Sunday, praise God.
Yes.
If it's not, praise God.
Yes.
I'm praising God either way.
Right.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, but
bless
him. Be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. That's what my brother Job said. So God bless you guys. I appreciate it. Just have a little moment.
God bless you, Brother Jay.
At this time, I would like to bring up my pastor for that song, if we can do that.
Amen.
I ain't going to forget.
God bless this place. My goodness. While that's going on, while he's getting ready, you know, just be on the lookout for, you know, transmissions, things coming through your mind and stuff like that. We got a couple other people that might need some help with things and stuff, so just be paying attention to what's going on.
Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord again. I keep thinking, it says, seemed like it's been a long time, but I forgot. I was gone last weekend. So it has been a long time. Good to be back at home. There's no place like home. You know, I was thinking when they were talking about this new day and the eighth day and after midnight and all these things they're saying. When we get into the eighth day, we stop counting. No more time. When we were 3 minutes to midnight, we were still in the seventh day. And we were worried about time. How close are we to getting out? How close are we to getting out? How close are we to getting out? But when you crossed over to the eighth day, there's no more sevens, no more threes, No more nothing. So we're not even worried about what time it is now. How? Yeah, is it 2 minutes past midnight? Is it 3 minutes past midnight? We're in the eighth day. There is no time. We've stepped into eternity where we came from. And so when we're talking about time now, it's not referring to us at all. You say, well, you're still getting old. That's this body. It's still stuck in time. But my soul has stepped over into the eighth day. It's stepped over to a new day. We're not even a minute past midnight. That's why, you know, people say we're past midnight. Don't even worry about being past midnight because it's eternal. Eternity has no beginning and no end. You're going back into eternity where you come from. So we can't even measure the day and say, oh, we are well past midnight. We're not well past midnight. We're out of time. How long are you going to be here? Till God says it's time to go. How long is that going to take? It doesn't matter. You know, when we get to that marriage supper, that three and a half years, we're not going to be worrying about, oh, come on, better hurry up. It's almost up. No. The 3.5 years is not even for us.
No.
We're in eternity. We're in the eighth day. It's for the world. It's for Israel. It's for the final 3.5 years that God promised Israel, not us. We're just going to be over there. We know how long it's going to be on Earth's time. But for us, it's just going to be a blink of an eye, and the marriage supper will be done. It's like, oh, back down to the earth. And then we come down here, and we got to see, remember, time is not for us anymore. So the 1,000 years ain't for us.
No.
The 1,000 years is just to prove to Satan that the curse is broken.
Wow.
It's not for us. It's like one day. So we're not worried about that time. Then you say, okay, then you got the great white throne judgment. You got to worry about that. How long is that going to take? It doesn't matter. That's why it doesn't matter how long hell's going to burn in the lake of fire. Because time is done away with. Death and hell. Time and death is one and the same.
Yes.
And once death is cast into the lake, time is cast into the lake for everything else. But for us, you've already stepped in the eighth day now. So time is over for you now. And we don't have to worry about getting ages and birthdays. And yeah, we'll have birthdays. I got one coming up. We got stuff. We're getting older, getting grayer, getting whatever. But you know what? That's on this side. That's in this earth's time. As far as I'm concerned, I feel like I ain't aged a day since I got my new birth. Because I have it. That's why I feel like I'm as young as I've ever been. Because you know what? I've gotten a new birth, and that took me out of time. And I don't live this life through time anymore. God's got us all situated, and he's watching over us. He's taking care of everything that we need. And now all we got to do is enjoy the period that we're in.
Yes.
And forget about time. Forget about trying to, okay, it's one more day. Maybe we got one more. If I got one, that's fine. If I don't, I'll serve God if I have a tomorrow. It doesn't matter. At marriage supper, I'll serve him. New heaven and new earth, I'll serve him. He's got me totally out of time now. And now everything else is still marching through time. But the bride, she's out of time. The entire bride body is out of time. So that's just what I was thinking while y'all were testifying.
Wow.
Amen. That's a whole My Heavenly Father watches over me.
Amen.
Amen. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day,
my heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the rose an object of his care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air, and surely he remembers me. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, in the lion's den, on the battlefield, or in the prison pen, through praise or blame, through flood or flame, my heavenly Father watches over me. That's why I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountain's peak, or on the stormy Father watches over me.
Amen. Oh, God bless this place. I'll take the key of G. I sing praises to your name, and we'll get them up.
I sing praises to your name.
Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord.
for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Jesus, we come before you this morning. We come with only thanksgiving, knowing how good you are, how much you've blessed us with your word, and how you've opened our eyes and allow us to see. And God, I pray that you'll bless the services this morning. You already have. You've been here since the first song. You've blessed us. You've anointed us. You've allowed us to enjoy your presence. And God, we want to just bask in it. We want to just stay before you, knowing that, Lord, you take care of everything. You are the mighty God who watched over us when we couldn't watch over ourselves. Ask you, Lord, to just, Lord, speak to our hearts today. Lord, open up the word to us. Let it be clear to us. Help us to know your leadership, Lord. Move us aside that, Lord, both the speaker and the hearer can both receive of you. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this waiting congregation who longs to hear from you. They look forward to this point in the service. And Father, we ask you to move us aside and forgive us for our shortcomings and just come and walk these aisles with us, Lord. Talk to us, speak to us, open your word to us that we can give you the praise and the honor that you so deserve. Ask you to touch those that are sick today. Satan's trying to take away from the services for getting something, putting something on them that, Lord, would take away from you. God, we bind him in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that, Lord, Satan might put it on us, but, Lord, we can cast him off. Let us enjoy your service. Let us be free to hear from you. And when we leave this place, Lord, let us be more determined than ever before to be exactly what it is you want, not keeping our thinking and our ideals and trying to get ourselves across, but, Lord, dying to ourselves daily to become that manifested word that you're looking for in this hour. That's what our heart's desire is, Lord. I don't desire to be seen. I don't desire to, Lord, hold my thinking. I don't desire to try to be stubborn in my will. But, Lord, let me lay my thinking down. That's the only way to receive you. Help us to do so, Father. Have your way today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know I said on Wednesday
that we would go over the trip to San Diego, but I don't think I'm going to do that this morning. We'll do that tonight. I just feel that it's time to move forward with the service. So Praveen, if you don't mind, we will push it one more service. And the reason I'm not too worried about it is because it's old manna. It really is. I don't mean to say it that way. It sounds a little crude, but we're going to tell you what God has done. I'm not so crazy about what God has done. Amen. I want to know what he's doing. And when the Spirit moves like this in a congregation like this, why would I want to rehearse something that we could talk about any time? I appreciate you stepping up, and I appreciate the testimonies. I even appreciate it. Dawn came over and asked me, said, can I start singing? I'm like, sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's good. But see, the thing is when you throw up a rock, you never know what God will let loose. You throw a rock up, and God will bring this house down. And I appreciated the testimony. Micah, you just blessed me. You just don't even know. And you just don't even know. People have been sitting here for years. And ain't doing what you do. And you say, I didn't do nothing. You blessed the body. That's what it's all about, is blessing the body. That's what it's all about. It's not about status. I told Jeremiah, even before Jeremiah started preaching, I said, Jeremiah, don't worry about being called a preacher. I said, because all that's going to do is put more pressure on you, because people will expect more of you. And it ain't going to change your office. It ain't going to change you a bit. And so when you're here, it doesn't matter what God tells you to do. Just do it. You know, don't hold back. Why are we going to hold back? Why would we hold back now in the middle of the eighth day? I tell y'all everything God tells me. I was like, I don't hold back. I sit there and God talks to me. I'll tell you while I'm getting ready to sing. I don't care. It's not. There's no order, no form, no fashion. And it's when God speaks to you, you should learn to run. You know, do the job. Do what he wants you to do, because it could be something so simple, and it can have a landslide effect on the whole entire church. You just never know. I was out of town, and I got to watch the services online, and I really appreciate Brother Jay last Sunday taking it. He did an excellent job. And I see the young people getting involved. I see the young people believe in this. You know, not just taking mom and daddy's word for it, but they're doing this for themselves. You know, I saw Daylen get up and ask for a prayer cloth, get a prayer cloth for a friend. And I'm like, yeah, that's the way this works. You know, it's a body. Our young people go to school and they look at the round in the classroom and they say, well, I'm taking this one. This is good to me. This is a good teacher. You've got people who are actually understanding who they are. And that's great to me. That to me, it tells me that the job is getting done. Amen. Now, you stubborn heads who are just still sitting in your old ways, that's where I sit there. I'm not worrying about you. Be as stubborn as you want. Be your own man as you want. Do what you want. I ain't worried about you. Because either you'll be there or you won't. You say, well, that don't have nothing to do with salvation. Don't fool yourself. If you're stubborn, God can't use you. And if God can't use you, you're none of his. He is going to use all of his. Amen. So you keep your thinking. I ain't worried about it. I'm about ready to get out of here. With or without you. You say, well, I'll go to Fairborn. I'm going. In the words of Brother Lockett, you must be born again. You can sit in this church all you want. You can come to this church all you want. If you're not born again, you ain't going. It's just that simple. So it's good to be here, and I try to help y'all. Because, you know, I know every person in this building. I know the stubborn ones. I know the ones who rebel against what I tell you to do. I know the ones who take this message lightly. I know the ones who don't put it to work in their life. I know the ones who are here because of their parents. The ones that are here because of their spouse.
Amen, Lord.
I'm the watchman on the wall.
Amen.
I'm supposed to know. If I don't know, if somebody else should be up here. Because whoever's up here should know. Why have a pastor and not take his word?
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have a pastor. It's not in my notes, but we're here now. It's more than just being associated with Fairborn Community Tabernacle. You got to have this for yourself. And when you have it for yourself, it takes the rebellion off. It takes, see, a lot of people, I'll say this and I'll get to my message maybe. A lot of people, when they come to church, they think the only thing that God's going to do is to take away drinking, smoking, running around, doing this, doing that. They got their list of things. But when Jesus moves in,
everything,
everything moves in.
Right.
Obedience moves in. Because Jesus said, a son does nothing.
Amen.
Except the Father first shows him. So if you're not obedient, that's the spirit of Dillinger.
And we don't
count obedience as one of the attributes of God that moves in when the Holy Ghost moves in. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission moves in. From the children to the husbands. Children, obey your parents. Wives, obey. Yeah, obedience is, it moves in when the Holy Ghost moves in. So when I see that you're not obedient, I'm wondering who moved in there. Because when the Holy Ghost moves in, obedience, submission, all these things that we don't even talk about. All we talk about is drop this, drop that, and do this, because it's the top 10 on your list. But this is about number 16, 17 that moves in. Obedience moves in. Submission moves in. Love. See, we don't talk about these things when we talk about the Holy Ghost. We'll walk into a church, we can have the hellish spirit on us. And come here and act like we're godly. And have no love for your brethren. See, I'm talking about the real stuff that you should be looking at. Not your top 10 list. Now, that love might be around 17, 18, 19, somewhere around there. We stop counting after 10. But love should be in there. How do you love God whom you have not seen? And don't love your brother who you have. We backbite, we talk about, we gossip.
Amen.
You preach.
That's what I came here for, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Preach.
And then we call that God.
Amen, Lord.
So I look for more than just 10 items when I'm looking at you.
Amen, Lord.
Examine yourself.
Oh, right. Hey.
Examine yourself and see if that's not necessarily a positive thing. See if you're in the faith. Find out if you really believe in this thing. Because it should put some things in your life that wasn't there.
Oh yes.
It's a different life in there. So it should start changing you. And if you don't change and I don't ever see you change.
Amen. Right.
Who moved in there?
Right.
So it should do something for you. You say, well, man, you're hitting a little home there. You know, they see, they think that preachers think they preach hard. They don't preach hard. They'll run up and down those top 10 and beat you to death with those and gossiping about you when they leave your church. And they think that God doesn't know the difference. All I say is examine yourself. Now I want to go over to the scripture. I'm getting off of this. Y'all have to settle down. I say, this is the hard preaching. This is the, people don't talk about this. This is the good stuff. It's like, do you love me? He says, do you love me? If you don't love me, then you don't love God. If you close up your bowels of compassion, how dwell the love of God in you? Oh, we don't talk about compassion. We don't talk about these things. You know why we don't talk about these things? Because these are not things that are show and tell. These are not things that nobody knows about.
Amen.
These are the things you do when nobody's looking and you have feelings for somebody that nobody knows you even care about, and you check on somebody that you shouldn't be checking on. That don't give you no brownie points.
Nope.
Not with those top 10.
Right.
No. But you drop the top 10, or you change the top 10, or you pick up the top 10, then, oh, there's a son of God. There's a daughter of God.
Yeah.
But what it's going to do is going to line your life up with the Word.
Right.
And that's what you got to have. Your life will line up with the Word because you are a son or daughter of God.
Right.
You say, well, what if I got item number 4 on my list of 10? You got number 4 wrong, but you got the 20 right. You work on that 4. Because all the rest of them are going to say, hey, you know, that's not like me. Yeah. You need to work on that, and you'll work on that, and you'll work on that.
Right.
And you'll work on that all the way home.
Amen. Right. Amen.
But if you have a love for the truth, that'll bring you back every time.
Yes.
You won't come in here dragging. You won't come in here hiding. You won't come in here sitting down on God. You're going to get with it.
Right.
God wants the church. See, the people don't understand. Our church will get with it. You preach me the word,
amen,
and I'll amen it.
Amen.
And I don't care how hot it gets. I don't care how hard it gets. Tell me how wrong I am. I'll be the first one to say amen.
Amen.
Preach.
Tell me I need to step it up. I'll say amen.
Amen.
Tell me I need to go a little further. I'll say amen.
Amen.
See, that's a believer for you. Those are the kind of people who are in this church. We're not afraid to be told we're wrong, because the zeal of the hour is I'm wrong. People are afraid to be wrong. They'll go all the way around the block instead of saying they're wrong. Well, it's his fault. It's Jeremiah's fault. It's Jay's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my kid's fault. My kid drove me there. No, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. The zeal of the hour. If you can never get to the place where you say you're wrong, you can never get right. And you'll sit with your own thinking, and you'll justify yourself and your actions by what you think is right, and walking away from the Word of God the whole time. Then you look at somebody who's all messed up, but they're right on the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God, and you'll mark them out.
Come on.
And then a body change, they go and you don't. Lord, didn't we do these things in your name? All right. You got to surrender everything to him.
Amen.
Be willing to say I'm wrong.
Yes, sir.
That's the hardest thing for us to do. That's the hardest thing. We'll make excuses. We'll make it this and we'll make it that. And we'll have all kind of reasons why we justify what we do. But when I'm guilty, I'm guilty. If I did it, I just did it. I want it. I'm the first one in line to say I don't want it. I said I didn't want it before you saw it and said you don't want it. But that's our human side. That's the part of us that we don't like. That's Romans 7. People don't even understand Romans 7. Oh, they think they do, but they don't. That I would do, I don't do. And that I would, that I wouldn't. I find myself doing. When the legalists read that, they're like, good thing Paul got the Holy Ghost. But a believer reads that and say, amen, Paul. I understand you, Paul. Because ain't none of it's in here past Romans 7. Not here, not in these bodies. We're cursed. We got a problem. We come in the wrong way. We got human conditions that causes us to have all kind of issues and problems and schisms.
Amen.
And we need to be delivered from this thing.
Yes, deliver me, Lord.
And it's coming.
Yes.
Just hold out. Keep the faith.
Amen.
Just hang in there. Sister Courtney sings, they said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here. There's people who marked me off 40 years ago. And you know what? People have to come visit me. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. Huh, Courtney, they marked us off. But what keeps us here is the Word of God. Not my goodness, because I've been bad in 40 years. I've had issues. I've had problems. I've had troubles. I've been up and up and down. And I've had all kind of problems. I've struggled as much as anybody in this place. But the one thing I didn't struggle on, the one thing that matters the most, is I love the Word of God. And it has never let me down.
Amen.
And whenever the word comes forth, I always agree with the word.
Yes.
They might get mad at me. They might tell me off. They might walk away. But one thing they got to understand, and they must admit this, I do say amen to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
The rest of it will take care of itself.
Yeah.
But I want to go over here and talk about a man. Man that we know well. He's a good friend of God's. Good friend. He and God had conversation. He and God walked together, talked together. They had a lot of good fellowship. But you know, he got to a point that the devil got jealous. Name is Job. Devil got jealous. Hey. Only reason Job serves you is because you got a hedge around him and I can't get to him. When you got a hedge around you, the devil's locked out. He can't get to you. He can't mess with you. Sort of like us. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get a hedge put around you. In this hour that we're living in, you get a hedge put around you.
Yeah.
Nothing can stop you.
Yeah.
Nothing can hold you back. Nothing can turn you around. Nothing can take you away from the Word of God. Nothing can separate you. What can separate us? Nothing can. Because we got a hedge around us.
Amen.
Oh, you say, well, you go through troubles. Yeah, I do, but a hedge is still there.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, when God pulled that hedge from Job, he didn't pull it out. He just shrunk a little bit. He said, you can mess with his house. You can mess with his family, do all you want to his cattle, but don't touch his soul. That's mine. That's me. You don't mess with that. And that's the same way it is with us. We got a hedge around us. Oh, we go through the same troubles that everybody else goes through. We have the same problems that everybody else has. We get struggles like everybody else. But one thing that's different than us, than them, is that no matter what happens, I will be fine. No matter what trouble comes my way, I will be fine. Whether it's sickness, whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's personal, whether it's public, whether it's whatever it is, I will be fine. Because I had a hedge around me. And the devil's not allowed to touch that. So let's look at Job a little bit, because he had some questions. I love this, because Job was honest. Him and God had a conversation, and he was honest. And I thought, you know, there's not many people in the Bible who talk to God the way Job did. And there's not many people in the Bible to talk to Job the way God did. Because Job was, he was pretty straightforward. He had questions he didn't know. So if we want to go, we want to turn over here to Job chapter 14. Here Job, the devil had struck him and hit him, hit his home, killed his kids, killed his animals, did everything but take his wife. See, all those things that the devil did was to bring him torture. Yeah. Leaving his wife was to bring him torture. Not only that, but she was going to have the other kids too. But he left her there because he knew that if she said certain things, see, a wife can hurt you more than anybody else. Amen. Closest thing too, she knows which buttons to push. Clarice knows exactly when she gets with me. She knows exactly how to get me over the edge. And then she'll look at me like, what's wrong with you? Why are you over the edge? This ain't that deep. And I'm like, oh, you did that. You did that. But y'all don't have that issue at home. Wives know how to punch that button. Husbands know how to punch that button. The closest thing to you can hit you harder than anything else. So the devil was going to use Job's wife. So he didn't take her. He left her there. And he waited till the most opportune time when Job was sitting on his ash heaps, had boils all over him, lost his kids, lost his cattle. Neighbors talking about him. Have y'all ever been there? Neighbors talking about him. Had all kind of bad names on the street about him. And Job's sitting there and he's like, I didn't do nothing. I was trying to love God. And the final pierce of the heart was when his wife looked at him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Oh. He thought, she's with me. She's by my side. She's going to go through this together with me. And she's like, It's you, Job. That was the worst thing, the worst pierce Job could ever have. So he had nobody. He was all by himself. And he's ready to die because Job and God had a conversation and he already knew about God and he worshiped God and loved God. But Job had questions because he didn't have what we have. He had questions. So Job chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Job had a lot of wisdom. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringeth me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. No, but who could do that? Who can take something that's rotten and make it good? Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. You know, Lord. You know how long I'm going to be on the earth. Yeah. His days are numbered. Thou hast appointed him bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest. till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. Just let me do my job. You know what my days are numbered. You know, and here's how Job's talking to God. Just like, you put me on the earth. You set me up for this. Just let me be like a servant, a hireling. Somebody you hired, let me just do my job. Yeah. Let me get my job done. That's what Job was a little bit testy.
Amen.
For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will spring again, it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof died in the ground. See, Job was, he was watching nature. He's a typologist. He's watching nature. He said, I cut a tree down, and I know I cut the tree down, and next thing I know, next spring, sprouts come up. Now, I know those roots are old, because I didn't dig the tree up. Those roots are down there, but yet it lives again. Yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth broad like a plant. But man dieth and wastes away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Job has some questions. These are questions that man has had since the beginning of time. As the waters fell from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. It says, I see a tree. I cut it down. We take a man and bury him. Nothing comes up. So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. They go down and they're just there. She was like, everybody that we ever put in didn't do like the tree. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Job said, Lord, this world is falling apart. When I go down to that grave and I go to my sleep, remember me. Don't leave me there. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change. May Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I titled this message, The Human Condition. And I battled myself with this message ever since Wednesday. I heard Brother Ben, he wasn't even talking about it, but in his conversation and while he was preaching, he just said, human condition. He went on about his stuff, but I got stuck. I said, human condition? I thought, wow. That is really what we're dealing with. It's a human condition. And so I took that back home, and that's where I got the scripture to Job, because I thought Job was having these same questions about the human condition. What is it about man that he is different than all the other animals and plants? A tree dies and it comes back. Leaves go away in the fall, comes back in the spring. There's evidence that there's life after death. But Job wasn't, he wasn't sure what all that meant. And because he was going through the issues that he was going through, he thought he was going to die. And he thought, Lord, if I'm going to die, you treat me like a servant. You hired me to do a job. I'm here to do something, but what's going to happen to me when it's all said and done?
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that a real good question for us?
That's fair.
What is my reward for working for you? You gonna treat me like a hiring? A hiring gets a payment.
Yeah, right.
So when you come and you start serving God, you have these same questions.
Yeah.
Because when you're born and you don't know these answers. Oh, we know a lot now because y'all been 20, 30, 40 years in this thing. But when you're like Job, Job is sitting there with a bunch of questions and no answers. And every man that comes on the face of the earth has to go by way of the grave. It's appointed unto man once to die. He's got to. Amen. Because of the sin problem, because of the human condition, because of what we're made of, how we were made, how we got here, we're all headed the same way. That's why there's nobody that's better than anybody else. I wonder sometime, you know, because I run across people who think they are pretty good. And always marvels me. I know I'm not good. And I know nobody else is good. But when I run across somebody who thinks they're good, I'm like, oh my. Oh, you're so good. You got such a walk with God. You're so perfect. God talks to you. God tells you, you know, I question everybody who, well, I question everybody just hears from God. Oh, over the years, Don, we've been around a lot of people who've heard from God. Yeah. Everybody's hearing from God. And it's funny, everybody's hearing from God, but what God's telling them ain't what I'm telling them. I don't understand that. If you're in the army of the Lord, and the Lord's marching this way, and you're doing this, and you're telling me, well, God's leading me. I just question it. I have to, because I know God talks to me. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But when your leadership doesn't match my leadership, then I doubt that you're hearing from God. You say, well, my God's just as good as yours. Come on now. No, he's not. If your God was that good, you'd be up here and I'd be where you're sitting. Amen. He put the fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints. Yeah. You cannot get perfected without me. So if you're going to hear from God, you're going to hear from God through the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
And see, that's the problem that we had over the years, is that everybody's got God. I had that problem in apostolic. Everybody was led by the Holy Ghost, and we were all doing this. Going every which way. Every man going after his own thing. No leadership, no headship. They talked about the order this morning. Did you hear that? The order. God has an order. Son does nothing. God had to reveal it to Jesus. Jesus had to reveal it to us. And he's going to reveal it first to the fivefold ministry. You say, well, you're trying to say you got more God than me. No. No. It's only one God. But I'm saying if you're going to get God at all, it's going to be because God spoke through the fivefold ministry and come to you. You're not going to get this through your studies. Sorry. Doesn't come that way. You say, I got the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got a fivefold ministry leading you. And I'm not talking about tapes. Or in our case, CDs. Or in our case, live streaming or whatever they do now. You need a man that's going to bring it word upon word. And you need to sit under that man's ministry. And not just one man, the fivefold ministry. Right. You got pastors, apostles, even read Ephesians. Yeah. There and there. Ephesians 4. You got, what is it? Prophets, pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists, apostles. Five.
That's right.
Why are they there? For the perfecting of the saints.
Yeah.
For the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
Until we all come to this day.
Yes!
We would have never got to where we are without the fivefold ministry.
Yes!
You're right. That's the truth. You're right.
God's used the fivefold ministry all the way down through the ages.
All the way.
every prophet, every preacher, every teacher, every evangelist. They were all used all over the world. And all it was doing, it was building a body. And God was bringing us into perfection till we all come to the unity of the faith. We didn't get to that unity until this day.
That's right.
And it didn't come until the fivefold ministry got a hold of it.
That's right.
That's why we needed a major prophet, because we had to have the opening of the seals to bring us to the place where we can all come to the unity. What unity? The unity of the bride body, not just this church.
Amen. Right. Right.
The bride body. Remember, right. When I say the bride body, look beyond Fairborn.
Right. Right.
See, this is a united body now.
Amen.
We're not. See, when I was an apostolic, we wondered about Luther. We wondered about the Wesleyans and the Baptists and the Pentecostals, the Trinitarian Pentecostals. And we wondered about all those gifts and signs. And we wondered about all the, didn't know, but we wondered.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But when we come to the fullness of the word, right. It put the entire body together.
Right.
All the way from the feet to the mind. Every bit of it.
Amen.
Was put together. And it all came together by the fivefold ministry. But when Job was here, he was wondering about this because he thought, now, I'm a mess. I'm a man. I'm this and that.
Right.
Well, what's going to happen? When am I going to get my reward? What's going to happen when I die? Right. Brother Brunham said here, he said, do you realize that each one of us here has got to leave here? Yeah. Leave this world? Do you know that a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble? Did you know that because they were born of that tree from the Garden of Eden, of death. Brother Branham called Eve the tree of death. And she was. The tree of death, that we've got to die. We're the fruit of our mother's womb. And we have to die. We have to separate this life. Young or old, it makes no difference.
Amen.
If you're the oldest man or woman in here, living through the night, she'll outlive, or he'll outlive, many 15-year-old children. Hundreds of them will die across the world before morning, of children. So all that matters is what you're doing right now.
Right. Wow.
That's why Micah had to testify right now.
Right.
That's why, I don't know who the oldest was, had to testify right now. The young or the old. It's not about age. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
Let us rejoice.
Amen.
And be glad in it, because yes. This is the only one you promised.
That's it. Don't miss this.
Amen.
You can be young and die. You can be old and die.
Amen.
We're all come this way because of that womb.
Yes.
We're all headed in the same direction. We're all in the same position that Job was. Lord, where's my reward? What are we going to do about this thing? I'm working for you. You worked me like a hiring. So what are you going to do for me now? We're all coming through here on our way out.
Right.
You're not promised to make it to 70. You're not promised to make it to retirement.
Right.
You could die before morning. Anybody in this place,
yeah.
None of it. So that's why it's important for you to be right with Christ now.
Amen.
That's why it's right for you not to play games with him now.
Amen.
That's why when you come to church, you come sincere.
Amen.
Because God's talking to you right now, and
Amen.
He's not promised to talk to you ever again.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Brother Branham said, now, we find out death was the cause. Death is the cause of sin of the woman. Come through the woman, not through the man. And that's true.
Amen.
By her way of living her life, and by her, all death comes. Her way of giving life is death. And I thought about that when I read this. I said, that is so true. The way that a woman gives birth to a baby is death, because we all come the wrong way. We were not supposed to come that way. Her way of giving life is death.
Amen.
How many knows that? Job 14, if you want to put it down in the scripture. I've got it if you question this. I've got scriptures wrote down here, every bit of this. See, Brother Branham was coming loaded. He was ready if you want to, and I got it. I got the scriptures here. You want to question me? What'd you come with? If you want to read Job 14 there, it says, man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Is that right?
Right.
He cometh up like a flower and is cut down and waste away and so forth. See, every man that's born of a woman is born in death as soon as he comes.
Amen.
As soon as he gets here, you're on your way out coming in. We're all in the same boat.
Amen.
That's why none of us are better than others. See, we're all on our way out. We all stink.
Amen.
None good but God.
Amen.
But when he is born into the creation of God, he cannot die.
Right.
He is from the other tree.
Amen.
That was in the Garden of Eden. Christ. Eternal life come by that tree. Wait a minute. Two trees.
Yeah.
One being the woman.
Yeah.
And one being Christ.
Yeah.
Both were in the garden. One brought death. One brought life.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Wow.
And they're wondering where the tree of life is. Where's the tree of life today? It's Christ.
Amen.
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 Oh, you say she was a tree? Sure. Well, they say, thou shalt not take of this tree, God said in Genesis back there. Thou shalt not take of this tree. Of what tree? Eve.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
That whole sex program was put into motion there. And from that point forward, every man that came from the womb of the woman come dying.
Amen.
Well, the woman is the tree. She is the fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. The fruit of the womb is you.
Amen.
Amen.
Perfect sense.
Perfect.
That's right. And then the fruit of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden is Christ.
Yeah.
Through the woman came death. Through the man in the original creation comes life. To be born of a woman is death. To be born of Christ is life. Get the idea? That's right. Now, you see where the goddess went to, don't you? See, remember they got these goddesses and things and they worship the woman and all of that. But from the beginning, she was the cause of the whole problem. First Adam and Eve type the second Adam and Eve, see? The multiplication. Now, the multiplication of Adam and Eve was through sex to replenish the earth. But it wasn't so at the beginning. God made a male and female like he did in other creatures. See? Legal, just like the church. God made the church, but the church is gone. It's on the way. Not the bride, the church. And people think that, I don't know why they think they're good. I don't understand. I don't get it. They get self-righteous. And they think they're better. If anybody in here thinks they're better than anybody else in here, we should have beat that down years ago. Because we used to have that here. We used to have the preachers had to sit up front. No offense, brothers. And we used to have the seats lined with preachers. Then you had your singers of the church. They had their place. Good singers, songwriters. And they knew they were good. That was a problem. Then you had people who thought they knew more than the pastor. I mean, we had all this going on in here. And God had to knock that whole ladder down. And now, if you get on the ladder at all, it's on the ground. You ain't climbing no higher than the one in front of you. We're all going, there's nobody climbing up nowhere.
That's where Jesus was with his disciples.
Amen.
He was so much like his disciples that they had to kiss him to know it was him.
Amen.
They weren't carrying around in a chair. Woo, this is Jesus. He was humble. He was meek. He was one of them. He sat with them. He ate with them. We don't have three chairs up here for the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the pastor sit in the big high chair looking out amongst the people. Oh, I sit down there where you are because we're all one. When the word comes forth, it rips us all to pieces.
Amen.
Preachers don't sit there and say, well, get them, Lord. Get them. I know who that's for. Get them. Get them. No, we're all saying, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. We're all humble. We're all meek. And when you have a problem, I forgive you. When I have a problem, you forgive me. When you're short, I stand in the gap for you. And when I'm short, you stand in the gap for me. That's what the body does. When you have a need, we step it up. When I have a need, you step it up. Christy needed help. And she's not used to having a body to help. I ain't talking out of place, am I? I don't know, but I know. And I have to stay on her. Because see, when you're used to, see, people who give, they have a hard time receiving. And my biggest problem with y'all is y'all like to give, but you don't like to receive. But circumstances put you in a place where sometimes you have to receive. And you give, give, give. The church gets your money, your tithes, and everything else, your backing, support, and everything. And we help you. You help the church out immensely. Then you get in a flat or get short somewhere, and the church want to help you. And you're, ah, you know, that humility. Oh, no. No. I'd have to beat Christy. And I was like, let the church help. We can do this. And this last time, she's like, she texted me. She said, I'm going to tell it, Christy. She texted me. She said, well, I don't want to bother the church.
What?
Brother Isaiah said he's coming over. Now, me, I'm counting the people. She said, Isaiah's coming over. And I knew I was going to go over. And I'm like, you're not killing me. And that's what I think. I may have even text her that. I was like, you're not killing me. No, the body will be there.
Amen.
And those who could come came, and we got the job done. But that's how a body works. And when you think you're better than this body, or when you separate yourself from the body, you're separating yourself from God. And then you'll have in your mind, well, I've got more God because I'm over here serving God. You ain't serving nobody but yourself.
Amen. Oh, Lord, yes.
You're fooling yourself. Outside of the first thing, Don says this all the time, the first thing the Holy Ghost does at your new birth is tie you to a body.
Amen.
Oh, when I got born again, this church didn't do nothing I wasn't involved in. Matter of fact, I was so involved, I was living in Dayton, and I spent so much time in Fairborn that I finally moved out. My daddy was getting ready to get married, and I told him, I said, Daddy, no need Francis having to get used to me, because I'm never here anyway. I'm always up in Fairborn. And we weren't in church all the time. I was up here doing, I was framing, I was digging ditches. When the well went dry down in the valley, I was helping to dig it out. When Don was trying to do electrical work, I was trying to help him. I was over at John's house and helping him with his house, and I was at another brother's house. I was here all the time. I was everywhere. I helped Don wire Glenn's house when he built it. That's when I got shocked. I still haven't forgotten for that. You gotta watch working Don. He'll get you. But the Holy Ghost should tie you to a body. It shouldn't separate you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Stop thinking only about you.
Amen.
What can you do to help the body? How can I be a part of the body? That's where you're going with this thing. Because you know what? The resurrection is going to be a body. You're not going to be going up by yourself. You're going to be with a body. And if you feel yourself pulling back from the body, if you feel yourself, how's that saying? Say, if you feel far away from God, who moved?
Right.
It should bring you in closer to the body. I want to be here with you. I want to hear your testimony. Right. I want to watch you sing. I want to sing with you.
Right.
I want to do my part. Amen. Because it's a body. And none of us are better than the other.
Amen.
And what makes us good is that we help each other. That's what makes us good. That's when churches come in here, they don't know what to do with us. They don't know what to do with us. They walk in here because they got their top 10. And they walk in here and they'll see Don in his jeans. Skyler's got on gym shoes. Are you a preacher? And they walk down the aisle. They do that. They do that. They check everything out. They think they're better than us. They think they have more Holy Ghost than us. They think, well, this one's wearing earrings. This one has, when apostolic, you couldn't even wear open-toe shoes. If your sisters walked into church with an open-toe shoe, they church her. And if her skirt was too short, they'd put, what do you call them, modesty blankets over them. They'd come up, cover it up. And they judge everything. They move everything. But the thing about it, I can't get any better if I don't come to the house. And if God's going to change something, he's going to cleanse me from the inside out. He will take care of my needs. You just back off. Because really, honestly, I could take my list. And I'm going to start from 20. Mm-hmm. I start from the 20, number 20. You gossip. Oh, you don't love your brethren. You kick that one out of church. Oh, see, we could all play that game. But we all come the wrong way. Ain't none of us better than the other. Only reason I'm the pastor because God's given me that office. And I don't make me better than you, more holier than you. It's just my job. And it's my job to tell you the truth, even when you get mad at me. I don't care. See, if I cared, if I thought I was trying to keep this job, I'd be a little bitter about how I talk to y'all. But I never was a good pastor. I didn't know how to be the politically correct pastor. It is what it is. If you stink, you stink. If you need a haircut, you need a haircut. If you need to comb your hair, you need to comb your hair. Amen. If you need to straighten something up, you need to straighten it up.
Yes.
It's just a fact. If you're slowful, then speed it up.
That's right.
If you're too fast, slow it down.
Right.
If your God's getting ahead of my God, then slow down and get behind me.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if you have questions whether your God and my God is going the same direction, come talk, ask me.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. I'll tell Clary some things. Sometimes she's like, couldn't you say it a different way? I was like, it is what it is. I'm not smart enough to try to get around. I just do it. But we all are awful. We all come the wrong way. Everybody came the wrong way. Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned, verse 23. And have come short of the glory of God. All. So I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You know, the more spiritual you are, the more you make me sick. Because you know why? Because I can't let God direct you. You'll get ahead of God every time. I need you to dumb it down a little bit. I need you to be a little bit more needy. You know, when you need God, that's when you find God. Let me say that again a little slower for the hard of hearing. When you need God, that's when you find God.
Amen.
When you're in one-on-one cahoots with God and your communication so with God that you got all the answers and nobody else knows what's going on but you, you're stupid.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right.
All right. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. I'm trying to jar you so you realize there's an order to even hearing from God.
Right.
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 being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. See, outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't get there. Right. What can wash away my sins?
Nothing. Amen.
I know that. A propitiation is a covering. Yes. Christ becomes our substitute, yeah, right, and assuming our obligations. Oh, wow. That's what happened. Because none of us here could make it.
No, right. No.
None of us. Right. You can never get so spiritual that you don't need Calvary.
That's right.
You can never get so holy that you don't need the blood of Jesus Christ. You can never get so much God. That's why Brother Childers asked, wasn't Calvary enough? Didn't Calvary pay the price for us? And if Calvary paid the price, then we all got to come my same way. By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Forbearance means patience, self-control, restraint, and tolerance. That's what God for us. He stood there and with patience, knowing how nasty man is because he came the wrong way.
Right.
Knowing that man himself is rotten and can't get there on his own. That's why he stood there and paid the price. He became our substitute. And a substitute is something that stands in the gap for you. Take the cost for you. Pay the price for you. Jesus was the one who paid the price. He was the only substitute that God would accept. And the only reason God accepted him, because he was born without sin.
Amen.
Oh, the sacrifice had to be washed because he came through the womb. He came the same way, but the egg and the seed was spoken word come from God. None of it was Mary. Everybody putting Mary on a stick somewhere and saying, oh, Hail Mary, full of grace. Mary needed to go to the upper room just like everybody else, just like Peter, just like John, just like James, just like everybody else in God. All 120 of them. Mary was one of the 120.
That's right. She needed grace too.
People look at her and they think Mary's something else. Mary was just a vessel that God used. Mary didn't even do nothing to deserve it. She was just like us. She didn't know what happened till it happened. Just like us. You didn't know how sweet this could be until it happened.
Yeah.
Mary didn't know what role she had until it happened.
Yeah.
She's just walking along and God's like, hey, Mary, I chose you. Yeah. She wasn't doing something great.
Right.
She was born in sin just like everybody else.
Amen.
See, this human condition hit us all. We were all in the same boat. That's why I don't want you to think that you're something special. Your case is not special.
Amen. Right.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Nobody knows. You ain't special. We all need the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all, and that's why it should help you to look at each other a little better. When Micah get up to testify, you won't be so critical. He don't know what he's talking about. See, that's what they said when I started testifying. He don't know what he's talking about. He's too young. He just come out of apostolic. I was fresh off the apostolic bus. And I sat back there and God gave me a revelation. And from that point on, I didn't worry about nothing anybody else thought about me. They said he shouldn't testify. He's only been here a couple of weeks. I'd get up here, and I'd go to sing something or to say something, and I'd get anointed by the Holy Ghost, and I started shouting and running around. And I remember one time my glasses went from here, and it went way out there somewhere. God got it out of the way because I was out here. He said, but you did that. You were apostolic. I still shout. I can still dance. I have more to dance for now than I ever have. If you thought it was bad when I come out apostolic, you should see me now. I got more to dance for now than I ever have. And I come in here dancing, and they thought, oh, why? What's wrong with that guy? He needs to sit down somewhere. I was like, God's showing me stuff.
Yeah. Amen.
And every time God would show me something, you know what I would do? See, I'm going to give you some lessons here. Every time God would show me something, I'd come up here.
Amen.
I'd actually come up here because we didn't have it here. I'd come up here and say, let me tell y'all what the Lord has shown me. And I'd do that week after week after week after week. And people are sitting there. But you know what? They said I wouldn't make
That's
it.
That's right. Come on.
They didn't think I was going to still be here. Oh, but God only kept revealing. See, if you share what God gives you, God will give you more.
Amen.
That's the secret of a testimony. If you just hold on. You ain't got no room for God to give you nothing else.
Wow.
Hey, you testify. Tell him what God's done for you.
Yeah.
Tell him what he's revealed to you. You might have got something revealed to you this morning. Get up tonight. You know what? I really now understand the eighth day is without time totally.
Right, right, right.
I finally really see that. I understood. And I'm telling you, this is what I'm saying to myself. I said, I understood the eighth day. We've talked about it since I've been here. But now, with the way the scriptures are dovetailing together, to talk about the eight, like I said, I was getting that on the organ while y'all were testifying. It's like, you know what? Ain't no more time. None. Zero. Zip. That's why Brother Branham said, no more sevens, no more threes, no more one, no more nothings. And I'm like, I understand what he meant. I now understand that. You don't count time after midnight. So don't worry about how far after midnight we are. It doesn't matter. It's eternal day. We've moved into an eternal day. So see, this is stuff I'm telling you because this is what I'm finding out. And y'all might not already know this. I know. I'm a little slow. I'm a little 40 years slow. But I just share as God gives me. I've done it my whole time here. And I'll do it until I get out of here. And I pray that God gives me the revelation of the body change. But if he gives it to you, I won't be jealous because there's no big eyes and little you's. Oh, it might come through Micah. Micah might get up here and say, before I sit down, I'd like for y'all to understand that, you know, God just showed me that this is it. And what you going to say? What you going to say? Why would he show me? Why show Micah? Why did he come? I've been here 40 years and I ain't heard that. I'm going to say, amen. It doesn't matter where it comes from. So don't separate yourself. This is what you need.
Yes.
God had to make something clean out of something that was unclean. You remember, you see what condition we were in? We were filthy rags to him. And God had to make something clean out of something that was uncleanable. John chapter 15, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word. God took the word and took something that was unclean and made it clean. Through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is what Jesus was telling him. He said, God cleansed you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't bear fruit. You can't be on your own little branch out here with your God and have your own little fruit of God. Because your fruit don't mean nothing. You got to be tied to the body. Abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except for abide in the vine. Unless you're stuck with the body. Unless you're with the body, you can't even bear no fruit. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. In your own self-righteousness, you can do nothing. In your own walk alone with God, you can do nothing. You say, well, I got my own walk. You know what? You had your own walk till 1963.
That's right.
If you're still got your own walk now, then you're not tied to the body.
Yeah.
Because what happened in 1963, God tied us to the entire body. Now the fruit that you see manifesting, the church world can't even understand it. That's they walk in here, they look at us, and they don't know what to do with us. They got people they've talked about, they got people they don't like, they got people they've wished to leave the church and everything else, and y'all still keep coming.
Yeah.
And they left the church and looking back and like, yeah, Jeremiah's still there. Abide in the body. Stay with the vine. Stay with the body. Because your fruit will be fruitless unless you're tied to the vine.
Amen.
We worry about trying to clean this up and do this and do that. And I know they want me to do differently. I know. I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. They want me to walk these aisles, dress y'all like message people. They want you to look. Now, if y'all look like message people, they would come in here and be no problem at all. And despite what we preach, they would accept you just because you look like. I saw a thing, a pamphlet, and I just threw it in trash, but I looked at the picture, and I started to say something. I forget who was out there. I started to say something. Man, I need to look like that. And it's just really... I'm not, there's nothing wrong with any of it. But when you make that your salvation, you cut yourself off from God. I'm not saying dress bad. I'm not saying dress sloppy. I've told y'all before. I said, this should be the best. This should be the place where you dress the best. I told y'all that. Some of you do, some of you don't. That's all right. I was like, where's that? There goes Kevin walking in. I'm looking to see what he's got on. Come on down the aisle, Kev. And he said he's going to step it up. Nice looking shirt there. But see, the thing is, that's between you and God. I just tell you, and a lot of me and John used to call it C&D years ago. Creed and dogmas. When we hear something come across the pulpit that was C&D, we look at each other and say, that's C&D. Creeds and dogmas. You do it, and you do it because some man wants you to do it. But I ain't worried about what man wants. I want what God wants. If I can get somebody that can believe the word of God and speak the word of God and live the word of God, God will take care of everything else. I can't get that across to people, but that's okay. Like a dove bird and a crow. A crow is a big hypocrite. Brother Branham saying this. A crow, that fella can get out here and can eat wheat all day long and go over there and fly on dead old dead carcass and eat it too. They can go to church anywhere.
Yeah.
They can get sit under anything. He sits in the field and he can eat with the dove, wheat, and go over and eat on that dead carcass. But the dove can eat wheat all day long, but it cannot eat on a dead carcass. Because it's the dove. And a dove don't have any gall. One bite of that dead carcass, it'll kill a dove, see? It has no goal. And that's the way it is. No bitterness. That's the way with a real, genuine Christian. They don't want the things of the world. They just eat the word of God and that alone. What cleans the thinking man's filter, see, they come through that and that alone. The dead things of the world, it stinks to them. Look at the old crow in the days of the antediluvian destruction. Flying from the body to body, eating the old dead carcass. He didn't come back to the ark. But the dove could not find a place to rest her feet, see? She came back to the ark where she was getting grain. And that's the way we do. We live by the word of God.
See, in Noah's day, after the flood hit, he sent the old raven out. That old thing went out there and it didn't come back. Say, he died. No, he didn't. All those people that turned Noah down were still here. But they were floating. And that crow had a heyday. But a dove, when he threw that dove out the window, reason the dove came back, because the whole earth was full of water. Everything was floating. All the dead carcasses. And a dove said, not for me. And he went back to Noah. And he kept doing that until the time that he went out and found a branch, an olive branch. Came back and brought it back to Noah. And said, hey, the water's receding. Life is beginning. See, we don't just eat anything. We don't just put up with anything. I don't just put up with anything. If you want me to be your pastor, I'll be your pastor. If you don't, then I won't. He said, well, that's too easy. Oh, I'll make it real easy for you. Brother Childers used to say, I'll put skates under you. Yeah. Well, make sure you don't want to be here. Because if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. We're in the eighth day now. This is not a day where we're going to force families, force people to do things and make everybody toe the line and march goose step into heaven. We're not doing that. If you want to go, you can go.
Yeah.
If you want to stay, you can stay. And I'm not trying to pat you in the back to keep your company.
Right.
If you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. Go find you a man that can do you. I've told people that before. I have sat right here and I said, you don't need to be here. Because I knew they weren't listening to me.
Right.
I thought, well, why are you going to spend your time sitting here in this church listening to me when you're not even doing what I'm asking you to do? I said, you need to go find you a pastor. I've invited them before. You've seen me. yeah, go find you a pastor. And that was their last time here.
Yeah.
At least last time as a member here. Because if I can't help you, I'm not here to just pet you through life and fool you and make you think you're okay when you're not.
Right.
I'm here to give the word of God.
Right.
And that's only for doves.
Right.
Going to the church of your choice, those are crows. They can come here, and then they can go to the Baptist church next door, and then they can go to Nazareth church down on the corner, Nazarene church, and they can go all the way on the other end to the Apostolic church, and they can hop, 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 and go, 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 and they don't make no difference to them at all. They don't even know there is a difference.
Wow.
See, when they don't know, when the old crow, he don't know no difference. You throw it at him, he eats it. He don't care what it is. But that dove is picky.
Amen.
That believer's picky. I got to be where the word is.
Amen.
I got to be where the grain is. And in the hour that we're living in, then we're back to the grain again. We can't just go anywhere. I've got to be where the word is.
Amen.
And I do know the difference between grain and carrion. But if this thing doesn't have a pull for you, and you don't even care whether you come or go, because you've got God. If you don't care what the body's doing, you know, I love it this way, because I love that app. Because even when Helping Christy came into play, I'm sure everybody in the body got the text. Because I've asked you to get on that text for this season, especially for snow, but in emergencies. Cancel service. Something happens. Somebody dies. We need something. You know, it's good that the body stay in tune. So I know the entire body got it. The thing I love about it is that you know if you can help.
Right. Yeah.
And you know if you can't.
Right.
Nobody has to gauge you. Nobody has to call you up. Hey,
right.
Jay, come on. Come on, Jay, brother, Saturday, you know, brother. What are you doing Saturday? What? What? Come on, Jay. Come on. We need you. Come on, brother. If Jay's busy, Jay's busy. I don't have to police his life. Those who can help, help. Those who can't help, pray for those who can't help. That's the way the body works. Some of you got to work on Saturday. Pepsi. Got to carry loads of God knows what. I get it. And it takes the pressure off. It puts the onus back on you. So you know when you're helping the body and when you're not. You know when there's a need in the body and you ignore it. Versus, I really can't make it. I mean, Jeremiah and I, we were out of town last weekend and we praised God. We couldn't make it. We had a legitimate excuse. I'm just picking with you. But what I'm saying is, it's a body. And I'm loving this because what it does is it helps the body to get closer. Oh, y'all just don't know. I'm looking around. There's not many that really knows how uncooperative the body could be. How broken and split and splintered. Preachers going every which way. We had preachers who would preach on preachers. One preacher get up and another preacher get up the next service and preach on that preacher's message. I mean, we had all this going on here. And to have all of that gone. We may not have a church full, but oh, to be able to work together as a body, one mind and one accord. Jesus had fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. He fed all these people. And when he got through, he was happy to have 120 that really, really followed the Lord. And it doesn't take but one to poke that veil. Just one. It doesn't take a church full. It doesn't take 10,000. I'm glad to say we're two and three are gathered in my name. That made it easy for us. But if you don't want this, if you don't have a thirst for this, it's not for you.
That's right.
I mean, it's that simple. If you don't have a thirst, then it is not for you. Brother Branham said, he says, as a heart thirsts or panteth, is a thirst after the water brook. My soul thirsts after thee, O God. Unless I can find you, Lord, I'll perish. I can't go unless I find you. And when a man or a woman, a boy or girl, gets that kind of thirst for God, he's going to find something.
Yeah. Amen.
If you really have that thirst in there, you're going to find something. You're going to have God come and do something for you. But because we're so used to trying to just go after things ourselves, you just need to settle down. Be still. He told you, said, He's going to be there. God, he paid the price. So if he paid the price, then that means there's nothing else for you to pay. He will be with you. Always. He's never going to leave you again.
Amen.
He said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
That's right.
He's not going to leave you alone. Now, I got this story, but I'm not going to read it. This woman is 12 o'clock. I thought we started early. All right. Man. Brother Branham went to the hospital to pray for this woman. I won't read the story because we don't have time left here. He went to pray for this woman, and I'll just read a piece of it. I won't read the whole thing. So here a few months ago, I was out at a hospital to pray for a woman in a city in Indiana. And there was a lady laying there, wanted to get right with God. She was a backslider. She once come to my church. She went back out. And of course, seven devils entered. You don't know that story it talks about when he cast the devil out and come back and bring seven more with him. Seven devils entered, worse than ever was. And there she lay in a hospital dying. She said, Brother Branham, I don't want to die like this.
And I said, all right, sister, you don't have to. If you still got a desire in your heart to serve God, he'll never leave you. You left him, but he never left you. Now you can, if you can. She said, I want you, Brother Branham. I said, all right, then we'll pray. If you ever get a new birth, God will never leave you. I don't care what hole you go to, what hole you dig for yourself, what problems you have, what troubles you go through, he will never leave you. You might leave him, and many have. Some have left and come back. Thank God if you ever come back. And if you ever get a chance, I told Nadine that. I said, Nadine, don't ever leave again. If you ever get right with God and get back in the house of God, don't ever leave it again. But if God is in there, he will always be in there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so when you're kicking yourself and thinking, oh man, I messed up. I've done the worst thing. I've done this. I'm in this stage. My mental state is here. I've got this problem. All these things going on. And all this stuff is messed up. And now I can't understand. Shut up.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
He'll never leave you.
Amen.
Nor forsake you.
Yes.
You might have forsook his word, but his word has never forsaken you.
Right.
So all you got to do is get up and repent. That's how easy it is. We make it hard. We make it something else. We make it hard and hard and difficult. But the thing is that you've got to have that hunger.
Amen.
If you don't have a desire and you walk out the door, you just walk out the door.
Yeah.
Just a sinner walking out.
That's it.
But if you're a seed of God, I remember Renee telling us, they said when they left the church, they were at home. Whole time they're home, wondering what's going on in Fairborn. One in God. Why? They had a heart of desire in there.
Right.
And the desire brought them right back to the house. That's what it'll do to you. And when it gets you back in the house, you don't ever want to leave again. Because you know what it is to leave and come back. And when you leave, you're always watching for that other shoe to drop. You know, you can never be sure.
Yeah.
You never are quite right, and you're always wondering. But if you ever get into the house, stay there. If you ever got away from God and you get back to God, don't let nothing separate you again.
Amen.
It's a hard road. Brother Branham said God will fix it. He'll get you out of your problem the first time. But the second time, you're going to have to fight your way back. And it is a hard road back.
Amen.
The way of the transgressor.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But stay in there.
Amen.
Any man that's a real Christian, born again today, knows since he was a little kid or a little girl either, that there was something in you that hungered for God.
Right.
And you tried joining churches and everything else, it wouldn't work. What was it? It was the word. You were hungering for a filter. And one day it flashed before you. You seen Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It satisfied that taste, see, because life was in you, drawing. See, the life that's in you draws it. It tells what the desire you've got here. You're pulling. You can't pull this one. You can't pull through this and that and the other. You've got to find the right filter. Because you're a thinking person. See, you've got to have something in there that's pulling you to the Word. And even though we come here wrong, like Job was asking the question, even though we come here wrong, Jesus Christ paid the price for you, and he made something clean out of something that was unclean. But if you don't have that desire, you'll never get clean. And you got to remember, and I got to close, you got to remember that desire comes from that predestinated seed that's in you. You have to have that in you. It's not enough to just be churchy. It's not enough just to attend a church, an assembly. But if you are not predestinated, you will not be there. No matter how religious you are, no matter how much God you say you have, no matter how holy you are or how clean you live, if you're not a predestinated seed of God, come from God, going to God, it cannot happen for you.
Amen.
you're going right to the tribulation. Because that's where that bowl is. It's just there to catch everybody else. Only the elect in this hour is going to go up. Everybody else is going to go down. But you got to have that desire. You got to have that pull. You got to have that want to. And if you're in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are predestinated to see the God that's germatized.
Yeah.
It's not enough to even just be a predestinated seed. You must be born again. Your new birth is germatizing that seed.
That's right.
Amen.
That human condition loses its hope then.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Oh, the problems that you've had don't even matter then. All things have become new. Christ is in there. You're living now a new creature. You don't even want the world and the things that are. And people make the mistake of thinking when we say that your desire for the world is gone, they make the mistake to try to make you feel like you don't crave things of the world. That ain't what it's saying. It's saying you're living after that new man, and that new man has no desire for the world at all. He's in control, and he's telling you where to go, what to do, how to live, how to act, how to walk, how to talk. People say, well, I got trouble cussing. Why? Can something sweet come out of something salty? Can sweet and salt run together? He said, well, I just got this habit. Well, we all got habits. But the thing is, when you're looking at yourself, you're saying, what's my representation? What's the world going to see? They don't see no difference in me and the rest of the world. Then there is no difference between you and the rest of the world. You say, I got a problem. We all have problems. I've already been through that. I ain't going over that again. You should have go back and listen to the tape again if you missed it. But the blood of Jesus Christ covered us from, he took care of all of our sins. And he made a new creature out of us. And this new creature does things a whole lot different than the old one did.
Amen.
My new creature craves the word. My new creature craves the body. My new creature craves the resurrection. My new creature craves the bride. Because that's who we are.
Amen.
This human condition, it's out of control. It can't be stopped, can't be fixed. It's got to be done away with. And God will do away with it in all three realms.
Amen.
You're not going to keep any of it.
Right.
Your old soul must die. Your spirit breaks up and goes back to the God that gave it. And this flesh goes back to the dust where it come from. But out of there comes this lily. And this lily was made special. Through all the muck and mar of the clay and all the dirt and water that it had to go through, it pushed its way up to the sunlight, pushed its way up to the surface so they can come out here and open up and let a beautiful bloom come out of it. That's who you are. I'm crucified with Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Nevertheless, not I. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. In the flesh. That life is in this flesh. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. By my revelation. Knowing who I am. Knowing that God's got it taken care of. Knowing that this condition, this human condition, I still suffer it, but I don't suffer it. Because this earthly tabernacle is only temporary, and I've got one waiting on me. I don't have to worry about it. It's going to be there because I'm born again.
That's right.
I got to close. One more quote, and I'm going to close. This is a fast landing. Actually, there were 16 pages of notes.
I just jumped down to page 16. I just said, no, Lord, it's not going to happen. And then remember, if you ever was in God's thinking, you will always be there. If you got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thoughts for this age. If not, there's only one eternal life, and it always existed. And you, in his mind, existed before there was a world. That's the reason he chose you before the foundation of the world. It isn't what we think, what somebody else thinks. It's what God's eternal. You always was, see, in his thinking. Now, the reason I wrapped it up with this, and I skipped what Job asked the question, you know, Job was wanting to know, will he live again? And God turned around, and two chapters later, he started rebuking Job. And started telling him, hey, what's up with you? Who do you think you are? What do you think you have? What do you think you know? You don't know nothing that you ought to know. Now, tell us that too. We don't know nothing that you ought to know. And he told Job, he said, Job, let me ask you something since you're so smart. Where were you, Job? Where were you before the foundation?
Right. Oh, right.
When the sons and daughters shouted for joy.
Right, right.
By that time, Job was getting beat by God because God went through a hole. He just went, I did this. Where were you in here? Where were you in here? He went over. He wore Job out.
Oh,
come on. Finally, Job's like, thou knowest, O Lord. He wore him out. But today, we can answer those human conditioned questions because we now know that we come from God. We're going to God. We're predestinated. We're the predestinated seed of God.
Amen.
We were in his mind. We were an attribute, a part of God from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We were the ones shouting for joy.
Right.
We're the one that we saw shouting. We're the ones in the book of Revelation that everybody heard us cry.
Amen.
Same ones. So though we're in this human condition, we have the answers that Job was looking for.
Wow.
We now know who we are. We know where we come from. We know why we're here. We know that God's got us marked for his work. And when he's finished, pay us. You used me like a hireling. I went where you wanted me to go. I preached the gospel like you wanted me to preach. I moved my family to Fairborn, which I didn't want to.
Right.
Didn't want to be in Fairborn. Didn't want to be in Ohio.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be in the Northern Hemisphere. I did it, Lord. Because you wanted to use me to get your work done.
That's it, Lord.
And how be it for me to hold anything back from you when you took something that was unclean and you made it clean. You took something that was unsavable. And over top of that, you've saved it. And Lord, now I'm here to do thy will, O God. I'm here in this human condition to give you everything that I am. And when this life is over, I'll fly away. I'll go for my reward. You'll go for yours. This human condition, the only way around it was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And now that we have all these answers, all we're doing now is just living for him.
Yeah.
Living for him. Knowing that he knows the day of the rapture.
Right.
He knows your final breath. He knows all this. He's got all this in his mind. He has it all worked out. Why do we spend so much time worrying about it when it's all in his hands anyway? He knows what he's doing with us. So now give it to him. Let him have your life. And let your light so shine that others can see your good works and glorify God. Your good works, not your bad works. Your bad works don't glorify God. Your bad works only show how nasty your flesh is. But when you're doing good works, you're overcoming you and becoming more him. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants to use us for. And that's what he does use us for. That's why we are who we are. That's why your family come to you when they need prayer. That's why they talk to you about God. That's why your friends at jobs and works and everybody comes to you. Why you? because they see God in you. Even over top of all of this human condition, that beacon of light that's shining from inside of you is shining so bright. They don't know what to call it. We know what to call it. It's God. And He's living through you in that human condition. Brother Lockett. Could not pay. That's right. That's right. We owed and couldn't pay it. Yeah, your reward is that He paid your debt. Amen. He took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this afternoon for Your word. Lord, this human condition has affected every person that's ever come out of the womb. But Lord, You made a way around that. You paid a price that we couldn't pay. A debt that we owed that You didn't even know. And Lord, now we come to a point where we just see now so clearly how we just surrender to You. Whatever You want out of us, Lord. If You want me to pick something up, I'll do it. If You want me to lay something down, I'll do it. I want to fulfill Your word. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here. We're the final voice to the final age. And over top of this human condition, we are able to stand up and be counted for as sons and daughters of God. Thank You for that opportunity, Lord. Thank You for speaking to us and being ever present. The I Am, that we can give You the glory for the great things that You have done. Thank You for this congregation. I ask You to continue to be with us. Continue to stir our hearts and keep Your hand on us as we endeavor to fulfill the last of the scriptures for the Gentile world. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Now, like I said, tonight we'll try to go over the trip to San Diego, if the Lord is willing. This thing is real. And He paid the price and made a way that we couldn't even do. Because He paid that price, it gives us the opportunity to come down here on this earth and manifest Him. Amen. Amen. Because He lived. I'm not sure what page that is. Mm-hmm. 184 in the choruses. Don't forget to come back this evening. Now, we have services Wednesday and next Sunday. Right? Yeah. No. Well, yeah, I was like, we got
something. Tonight is the last Bible study of the year.
That's what it is.
And then we will have Sunday night New Year's service, but as far as Bible study, this will be the last Sunday. So the 17th and the 24th, we won't have Bible study. Then on the 24th, we won't have church either. That's Christmas Eve. And
did I cancel that? Okay.
Yeah, I thought you did. We can change it.
No.
I thought you did, but we can always change that.
Do y'all want Christmas Eve? Okay, yes. We'll have it.
Yep. We're going to have church. All right, church on Christmas Eve. And then I think that's all we got for now.
Okay. I don't trust myself sometimes because I think it thinks so much. On New Year's. Yeah, it's New Year's Eve. So we've got a few more services to do. There'll be a little bit for jumping around for some of the services, but I think the Sunday mornings go throughout the rest of the year. Okay. Don't forget to come back this evening. I want to have a prayer. Where's Caleb at? I see he's in a truck. Is he standing? Let's get Caleb. I want to pray for him. And if anybody else needs prayer, because I know he wants to be in here and he wants to be here, but he's not feeling well. Okay, come on up, because we're going to pray. Okay. Yeah, he's Caleb's tough. And when Caleb's not feeling well, come on, Glenda. Anybody else? I felt that. I said I wanted to pray for him before he got out of here. I know you're in the truck. I didn't know you were. I saw he's in and out. God bless you.
Yes,
Lord. Sister Glenda. God bless you, sis. Amen. Pray for you. We're going to pray as a body. Amen. Kevin, we'll pray for you, too. Brother Mike. Amen. Brother, behind you. I really felt to do this today. I don't do it often, but I wanted to. Brother Deskin, you coming up here and stand with your son?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Come on up, Michelle. Mel, God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 A little bit of oil doesn't hurt nobody. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Riley? God bless you. Amen. It's me, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Come on up. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Sister Judy. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Jonathan. God bless you. Now, just touch each other, too. You know, there was times that Brother Branham would have a lot of people that he had to pray for. I'm going to touch you, too, David. I see you up there. He had a lot of people they had to pray for, and they couldn't get to everybody. So what he did was have people to touch the person, lay hands on the person next to him. So we're going to just grab hold of each other. I think the whole church has come up. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day. Thankful to know who we are. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that you've been so good to us. You've taken something that was unclean and made it clean. But Father, Satan attacks this house in many ways, and Lord, with sickness and with doubt and unbelief and whatever he throws at us, Lord, we want to take the word and throw it right back at him. He might cast it on, but Lord, we can cast it off. And we bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you to bring healing to those bodies that are sick, healing to the mind that needs it, healing to the home situations, Lord, the different situations that Tommy and them are going through. Lord, let them know that the only way that they can get the strength is to stay under the word. Lord, let this word just so move in our house and move in our homes that, Lord Jesus, we'll, Lord, look to you for guidance for everything. As Lord, as we see this world falling apart, we see the bride coming together. And we ask you, Lord, to just bind it in the name of Jesus Christ and just bring us closer to you, Lord. Let your words, Lord, just so move in our lives that it'll change us into what you'd want us to be, Lord. That we can lay down every weight and every sin that so easily besets us and help us to run this thing, Lord. Help us to race towards the finish line. We can see it dead ahead now. This bride knows the hour that we're living in. And we're standing up here because, Lord, we want to be identified with each other and we want prayer for each other, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you would do the job. Lord, those who are tuning in that maybe have a need in their homes, I ask you to move in their homes, Father. Move on this bride that we can be standing strong in an hour. You asked that you would find faith in the land when you return. Lord, you will because we will be standing here. Lord, we will be alive and remain. And we won't hinder them which are asleep, but we'll be caught up together to meet you in the air. We're longing and looking for that day. Thank you for it all, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Because he lives, that's the only reason we can have this unclean vessel clean. It's because he paid the price. And he saw you And he knew that you were going to be right here. He knew that you were going to believe the word and you were going to stand for it no matter what the world has. Let it fall apart. The bride is going to stand true to the word of God. And because he's done all these things, we can face whatever tomorrow holds, if there is a tomorrow. We can handle any problem, any situation, any sickness. We can even handle death. We've got the key to that. Death, where's your sting? It don't even sting us anymore. Problems don't even sting us anymore. Shortcomings and troubles don't even sting us anymore. Because he's already paid it and he's made a way for us. Oh my goodness. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, I understand.
Because I